Good morning. Since the children are with us this morning and conveniently sitting up front already, I'll be directing most of my comments and questions to them. As we all know, we've been reminded this morning we celebrate the birth of Jesus at Christmas time. Now for the children, on what day do we normally celebrate this? Do you know exactly which day it is?
Christmas?
On Christmas Day. What date is that?
25th.
The 25th of December. Good. Do any of you celebrate on the 24th? Yeah. Okay. One of those 2 days. Now, what do people do to prepare for Christmas? Has anything been going on in your homes? Get a Christmas tree. Okay. What else?
Get toys.
Oh. Go out and buy toys.
Presents.
You buy presents. They don't have to be toys. Maybe presents. What else? Do you have advent calendars? Excuse me? Food. Oh, yes. Buying food. Special food. Okay, any have Advent calendars at home where each day you open up something? Okay. How about an Advent wreath? Do you light a candle each Sunday in the 4 Sundays before? What do people do after Christmas? Is there any celebrations they have after Christmas? Huh?
Putting everything away.
Okay. Melinda? Excuse me? New Year's. Okay, there's a celebration. Are there any church holidays right after Christmas? Just a minute, Jeremy.
Three Kings.
The Three Kings Day. Okay, Jeremy?
I want to say Three Kings.
You want to say Three Kings too. Okay. Some people take the gifts back that didn't fit. These are the things that most people think of when they think about Christmas. Family getting together, decorating, gifts. None of you mentioned getting off of school. Is that special to some of you?
Yes.
School vacation? Oh, yes. Some even think of snow at Christmas time. Oh, what would Christmas be like if there wasn't snow? These things begin a few weeks or even months before Christmas and end a few weeks or days even after Christmas. But most people do not understand the really big picture of what things led up to Christmas. It wasn't just a few days or even a few months. And the songs we sang and the Bible readings we heard have been showing us this bigger picture. And it's possible that we've gone through them so quickly, or you were so nervous when you read the passages, that you didn't really pay attention to all that was being said. Now, what were the very first songs in the Bible readings about? Do you remember the very first couple songs we sang and the first Bible reading? Do you remember what it was about?
Yeah.
Creation. Very good. God created the world. He's the creator. And as creator, he existed before everything else began. In that time, before he created everything, he had a plan. And that plan included all the events that we now celebrate as Christmas. God's creation was wonderful. Even today, as we look at the sun and the moon and the stars, we look at the plants and animals, they point to a powerful and glorious creator. James, even the spiders that you collect do the same thing. They tell us how great a creator we have. When God created everything, it was all very good. And man was also part of God's creation. And the first man and woman, like the rest of creation, were also very good. But something happened that ruined it. What was it? We read that also. Okay, somebody had it. Gunto. They ate from a fruit from a tree that they weren't supposed to eat from. God had given one command to the first man, And he went and disobeyed it. And this brought sin and death into the world, and creation was no longer very good. But there was one verse in Genesis, a verse that was read this morning, that gives hope. And it's often called the first prophecy about God's plan to rescue man from sin and death. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, it says, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." Now, enmity, he just said, he was saying he'll make enemies out of the two of you. But it's that last part that's important for us to consider. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. Now, which is more dangerous, to have someone hit your heel or to have your head crushed? That's a simple question. Which is more, James?
To have your head crushed.
That's why, remember we talked about the spiritual armor and the different armor we had to put on. One of them was a helmet. And we talked about how important it is to protect your head and why you wear a helmet when you're bicycling or you should and skiing or snowboarding. Good, yeah, you're supposed to wear one too, aren't you? And you forgot yours this week. Now, Satan was behind the serpent, tempting Eve to sin. Later in the Bible, in Revelation chapter 12 and chapter 20, Satan is called that ancient serpent. And God was promising Adam and Eve that one day Satan would be crushed. And the one who would crush Satan's head was someone who would eventually come from Eve. It said her offspring, a great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandchild, would crush Satan's head. Now, do you know the name in the Old Testament for that person? What is that person called in the Old Testament? Now, Messiah. It wasn't called Jesus yet. That was in the New Testament. But in the Old Testament, it was called the Messiah. God promised, that means a promised one, an anointed one. And God promised that one would come, and the first promise is the one would come, would crush Satan's head. But the Messiah, as the offspring of Eve, would also have his heel struck, according to Genesis. And that was described in the next passage that we heard read, Isaiah 53, verses 1 to 6. It says the Messiah would be despised and rejected. He would suffer. God himself would place upon him the sin of us all. The punishment which we deserved was placed upon him. Now, Isaiah was written, now we already heard what it would be like 700 years before Jesus, the Messiah, was born. Now, living at that time, the people of Isaiah had trouble understanding everything that was written about the Messiah. Isaiah also wrote the next passage we heard read. There it is written that he would rule forever and ever. There would be no end to peace. He'd be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now, how could he suffer, be rejected, and die, and yet rule forever? And the people would wonder, well, how can these two things be? These don't fit. There was yet another problem raised by Isaiah's writing. How could one person suffer in the place of another? Don't we each have to suffer for our own sins? If I do something wrong, when I was your age and I did something wrong, I went home, I got punished for it. I couldn't say, well, I'll take the punishment for somebody else. I said, you're going to take your own punishment. You've got to deal with what you've done wrong first. So how could the Messiah suffer for others? And how could just one person suffer for everyone else? That doesn't seem balanced. A lot of people do wrong, and how does one person fill that? Well, again, in Isaiah, there's a basis for an answer, which we find explained in the New Testament. The next verse was read in Isaiah was chapter 7, verse 14. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Now, do you know what the name Emmanuel means? We sang it already. If you were listening to the words that you sang, you already know what it means. What does the name Emmanuel mean? Gunther. God is with us. God with us. And that's the solution to some of the problems that people had in understanding Isaiah. It's explained further in the New Testament. God who created all things, that's what we started with, he became a man and lived among us like one of us. God used a young woman, Mary, without a man, to provide the human body for Jesus. Since he was God, and he didn't come from Adam, he didn't have the sin of Adam. Therefore, he could be punished in place of someone else. He didn't have any sin, so he could be punished in place of someone who did. And because he was God, he was big enough to die in place of many people, not just taking the place of one person, but taking the place of many. Now, I mentioned one other problem from Isaiah. Do you remember what it was? What was the other problem? There's one other problem I mentioned. It's the first one I mentioned. How could the Messiah suffer and die and yet live forever and rule forever? He had to be raised again. He had to come back to life. The answer is in the resurrection. And we have other prophecies in the Old Testament. We did not read those. It gives us the answer. Isaiah 53 hints at it. We read from Isaiah 53. Psalm 16:10 says, "You will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay." God not only planned that the Messiah would die in our place, but that he would be raised from the dead. The resurrection of Jesus, the Messiah, the Holy One, is the answer to Isaiah's problem. Our sins were placed on Jesus. He took the punishment we deserved. He died in our place. But Jesus will also rule eternally because God raised him from the dead, and now he's living and can be the king that was promised in the Old Testament. He's alive. Now, when do we celebrate the fact that Jesus came back from the dead, that he came back to life? When do we celebrate that? Melinda? At Easter. It's important that we look beyond Christmas to Easter, because that's the purpose of Jesus' coming, which we celebrate at Christmas. And that's how we understand the full meaning of our Christmas celebration. It's not just that Jesus became a man, but that he came a man to die. It's important also to look back to creation to understand how great the meaning of Christmas is. It's not just something that God thought of at the last minute. He was planning this right from the very beginning. The birth of Jesus was not an accident in history. God planned it. Now, you might remember that next year in September when you go into the stores and you see the first Christmas things. I'll speak maybe to the adults on this, because I don't know, sometimes it gets disgusting. You, after the school vacation, you come back and the first thing you see are Christmas cookies, Christmas candy in the stores in September. And you go, oh, isn't this starting kind of early? Well, God started really early before he created everything. He was planning Christmas. That's the longest preparation for Christmas there's ever been. And many people get sad after Christmas. The lights come down, the needles fall off the tree. You're probably told, don't bump the tree, because they fall to the ground. The gifts are no longer new. Maybe your toy's broken. The winter days seem dreary, the nights get long, and then you have to go back to school too. And you go, oh, it's all over. At times like that, remember the meaning of Christmas and think about Easter. Now, that's the next big celebration. And that's the important one, because Jesus died. We celebrate that on Good Friday, and he was raised from the dead. We celebrate that on Easter. We have a living Savior. In a few moments, we're going to hear the last of our scripture readings. And all of them are from the New Testament. And they focus on the meaning of Christmas, on the reason that Jesus came. The first passage will be in John chapter 1, continuing what we heard earlier, John chapter 1, verses 9 to 14. There we will be reminded that the Word, who is the Son of God, he's called the Word in chapter 1, and he's the Creator, became flesh. That means he took on a body and lived among men. And that is what we celebrate at Christmas. But most people did not recognize who he was. He just looked like a man, because he was a man. And they didn't realize he was the Creator that was walking among them. And they did not accept him for who he was. But in these verses, we are promised that any who do receive him, all who believe who Jesus really is, they all receive the right to become children of God. And the remaining verses after that are all from the Apostle Paul's letter to the church in Rome. The first ones to be read from this letter remind us where sin came from. Now, how did sin get into the world? How did it all start?
When they ate the fruit.
They disobeyed God, and that brought sin into the world. Because Adam sinned, everyone after Adam, everyone who's descended from Adam, is a sinner, and death came to every one of us. We are all separated from God and will remain separated forever unless we are rescued from that punishment. But those verses also remind us that God loves us even when we were sinners. And he offers a gift of life through Jesus Christ. Now, how many of you open gifts on Christmas Eve? Or do you wait till Christmas Day? No. When I was young, we did it on Christmas Day. We came here and all our neighbors did it on Christmas Eve. So our kids, it was kind of difficult saying, let's wait till Christmas. But all my friends are doing it on Christmas Eve. We open gifts. As you open gifts, whether it's on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, or maybe even on Nikolaus a couple weeks ago, let that remind you that God offers a gift of life to all who receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. It's a gift that he's offering you. Let that be a reminder as we give gifts and receive that God offers a gift to us. There's one final passage that will be read. It's the most complicated one, which will be read this morning. It compares the disobedience of Adam with the obedience of Jesus. And the results of Adam's disobedience with the results of Jesus' obedience. In fact, it's called the first man and Jesus the last man. The first Adam, and Jesus takes the role of a second Adam. The sin of one man, Adam, brought bad things to all men. It brought sin and death to everyone. And we have the same characteristics as Adam, who was our great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather. And the gift that comes from Jesus is something good that's offered to everyone. So one man's sin brought problems to everybody, and Jesus deals with everybody's problem in just doing one thing. Although we do not deserve it, he offers it to us freely. We deserve what we get if we're punished because that's the way we are. The one sin of Adam brought sin and death to all of us. One sin multiplied into many, and many died. But the many sins are taken care of by one act of Jesus. His death was enough to offer forgiveness to all who believe. God gave Adam just one command to obey. Now, how many commands do we have?
Ten.
No, there's the Ten Commandments. It'd be nice if it stopped with that. There are lots of commands. As we look through, what does it mean to love your neighbor as yourself? Jesus summarized it in two. Love God and love your neighbor. But then we go through, and that means not lying to your neighbor, doing good, helping. Adam had one command, and he disobeyed it. We have lots, and we disobey them too. We show the type of people which we are. Down inside, people, by nature, don't want to obey. The commands that God has given us show what people are really like. And these verses will tell us that. But Jesus did in obedience to God, what Jesus did in obedience to God, he obeyed God. That was enough to cover any increase in sin. Even though we become more and more sinners, the older we get, it's enough. Now, have you ever done anything really bad? Ooh. You don't have to raise your hand.
Has anybody not done anything bad? That's easier. Oh. He had a smile on his face. Now, sometimes we think of bad things as murder and killing someone. How many of you have ever had someone say something to you that hurt you? That hurt you really bad? Oh, the adults can raise their hands too in this. Okay, if you can say yes to this, it means you haven't forgotten. Now, have you ever said anything bad to someone else? Do you think they have forgotten or that they still remember it? Just think, to do something to someone and they may remember it the rest of their lives. They may have said they forgive you and they may truly have tried to, but there's a hurt still there and we were the cause of it. And unfortunately, most of us haven't just done that once in our lives. We have hurt people. And we can wonder, I talked with one person once and said, what am I going to do? I know I hurt my parents. It was very, very difficult. We can never take those words back, but we can know that if we come to Jesus, we're forgiven. It's taken care of. God won't remember it. He may know we have done it, but he says, I won't do anything against you because of it. I'll act as if it was never done because you've accepted the forgiveness that's in Jesus Christ. And that's something to really celebrate about when we come to Christmas. That's the reason we celebrate Christmas. Not just that Jesus came and became a man, but that he came to become a man so that he could die, so that we could have life, so that we could be forgiven. We give gifts to celebrate the most important gift, the gift of life which God offers in Jesus Christ. It's not just that Jesus came. God did not just give his son to become a man. He gave his son that we might live. I believe Josh and Ruth will be reading the next passages. I'd ask you to listen very carefully to them as they read God's word, and you will hear this message in God's own words.